If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 541. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about mountains and monasteries, old churches, and a museum dedicated to Joseph Stalin as we go to the Republic of Georgia. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. If you were sponsoring this episode, we'd be talking about you, but you're not, so let's talk about the Republic of Georgia. I'd like to welcome to the show Samantha Guthrie from loveatfirstlayover.blogspot.com, which is a very long URL. Samantha has come to talk to us about the Republic of Georgia. Samantha, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, we have done a show on the Republic of Georgia, which you were more or less satisfied with. I would say you felt that there was more to say and that things have changed because it's been quite a while since we did that show. Why should someone... Well, first of all, let's put it on a map. We're not talking about the state.
No, we are not. Georgia is a country in the Caucasus Mountains region. Mm-hmm. So the Caucasus region stretches from the southern part of Russia. You have those republics like Chechnya, North Ossetia, Adygia. And then when you go south of the greater Caucasus range, you have Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Georgia.
And now you may or may not have two other little countries down there, depending on who you are, that would split off from Georgia. But that depends on your politics and what country you're coming from. And the name of which, I can never remember the name of the two of them, but...
Right. So it's quite contentious. The two regions are legally internationally recognized as part of Georgia. They are Abkhazia and South Ossetia. In the late 80s, early 90s, there were a series of wars as the Soviet Union collapsed, and these regions declared their independence with the support and help of the Russian Federation and broke away from Georgia. Currently, they have a de facto independent status, but more or less are 90% of their budget comes from the Russian government. Their government works very closely with Russia. Most people recognize them as Russian protectorates. There's been movements to even integrate them further. People sometimes consider what might happen in the future would be something like what has happened with Crimea as a full annexation. But Georgia still, the Georgian government still recognized them as part of Georgian territory and is internationally recognized as such.
Okay. Now, politics and geography aside, why should someone go to the Republic of Georgia?
So yeah, I think the biggest draws for Georgia in general are, first, it's still undiscovered amongst most mainstream tourists. So a lot of smaller bloggers or kind of indie tourists will tell you absolutely Georgia has to be on your list. Most people who visited it goes easily into their top three, top five best places to visit. It's a really amazing country, but the tourist industry is still kind of in the early stages. If you're looking for luxury, you can find it here at a relatively reasonable price, But I think where the country really shines is in the guest houses, small towns, mountain villages. When you start going into adventure sports and outdoor exploration and nature travel, that's where you really get the full force of Georgia. So if you're looking for kind of something different, something that's not, that hasn't been done 100 times, and you won't feel the same kind of, I don't want to say fakeness, but really the fakeness that you feel in a lot of countries that have really developed tourist industries.
I think most of the countries I've been to have been real countries. I've looked it up on the internet. It must be true.
Not fantastical. But for example, if you go somewhere like Venice, I know my first time in Venice, I felt like I was at a theme park or in some kind of movie set, because it's been replicated so many times before. And when you see the original, it's not so different than the replications, and it feels very built up, very designed, very intentionally crafted for the tourist eye, which can be wonderful in a lot of ways. But I think with Georgia, it's much easier to find things that are just as they are for everyone. There's not two Georgias. There's not the tourist Georgia and the local Georgia. There's just one spread there for you that is really accessible to even the most Western of tourists. The other thing I would say about Georgia is that it's super diverse. Almost any kind of vacation or travel experience you're looking for, you can find in Georgia. Peaceful few days lounging on the Black Sea coast, or if you're looking for a more upbeat nightlife kind of atmosphere, you can go to Batumi, the beach, the big beach town. There are big international music festivals. There are great hiking trails in the high mountains. You can go skiing in mountain chateaus. You can take a wine tour through rolling hills in the west, or in the east, sorry. And there's so many options. And the small size of the country means that you can kind of do it all in a short period of time.
Excellent. And what kind of itinerary would you recommend for us for Georgia? Where would you start?
Yeah, so I am not the typical Georgian tourist. I went as a tourist for the first time. I visited for about 2 weeks. And then I lived there for 2 consecutive summers. So I've lived there for a total of 6 months. On my first trip that I was there, I think we did a pretty solid itinerary. And that's what I would recommend for most people on their first visit. And it'll probably be your first visit of more than once, because I think once you go there once, you can't help but want to go back. So in short, one great itinerary: fly into Tbilisi, the capital, spend 2 days there. Then you go north about 30 minutes to the small town of Mtskheta, spend half a day there. Then go to Kazbegi, a village further north, 2 to 3 days there. Then you can spend 1 day in Gori, which I will get into in a minute, and then 2 to 3 days on the Black Sea coast in Batumi. And you can really tailor it so many different ways if you want more nature, more history, more relaxation, etc.
Okay, you started us in Tbilisi.
Yes, so that's where you'll probably fly into if you're coming from Asia or North America. If you're coming from Europe, there are new budget flights from Wizz Air, from a lot of European cities, really, really inexpensive range. So I think they start at like 17 euros. So those fly into the second city, Kutaisi, second biggest city in Georgia. It's 200,000 people approximately. The capital is 1.3 million. So really big difference between the size of the first and second biggest cities. If you're there for a short period of time and you're not flying into Kutaisi, I would not recommend visiting it in a week, because it has some interesting things to see, some kind of hidden gems, but it's not in the highlights of the country, in my opinion. But if you are there, I would recommend visiting outside of the city a little bit, Bagrati Cathedral and Gilati Monastery. These are UNESCO World Heritage Sites. Bagrati Cathedral is from the 10th and 11th century. Gilati is from, it was built, I think the building started in the 12th century. And the various buildings in the complex, they finished building them in the 17th century. Really, both very beautiful. Gilati is particularly well preserved. It has really beautiful mosaics and wall paintings. And you can see there the grave of David the Builder, who was one of the most famous Georgian kings. Really great place to visit. Beautifully located in the outskirts of Kutaisi on hills. Near there is also a few cave complexes that are really interesting if you're into that. There's the most popular ones are Sataplia and the Prometheus Cave. Prometheus Cave is rumored to hold the boulder that Prometheus was chained to. This cave is not the only cave to claim to hold this boulder, so it is quite a disputed legend, but it is beautifully designed now. They have colored lights in both of the caves. You can take boat rides when there's enough water in the caves to do that. And they have music playing in the background as well. It can feel a little kitschy with the lights and the music, but it's actually really beautiful. And the really dramatic stalactites and stalagmites really just, I mean, I think it outweighs any kitsch that's there.
The Wizz Air, let's go back to that. Yes. You mentioned that you can fly in from Europe. They're a Hungarian airline, but where are you flying? Where do they have connections from? Do you know?
I know that they don't have connections from every big European city. They have connections from more places in Central and Eastern Europe, but I think...
Well, that would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, but I think they also have flights from Berlin, Budapest, Dortmund, Katowice in Poland, Kaunas, Cyprus, Munich, Milan, Sofia, Thessaloniki, Vilnius, and Warsaw.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was the Bagrati Cathedral and the monastery are actually on the list of the World Heritage Sites in danger. They did some apparently renovations there that the UNESCO was not too happy with. And so actually they may even be removed from that, or at least they're in danger of being removed. It's kind of the warning that comes from the UNESCO. So if you want to see them while they're still a UNESCO World Heritage Site, you might want to go sooner.
But it's hard because so many of the really beautiful ancient cathedrals in Georgia were really severely damaged during the Soviet times. Many of the mosaics on the walls and the paintings were whitewashed, just thrown over with paint. And some of them have been restored. The paint was managed to be chipped off, and you can kind of see the paintings underneath still. But a lot of the restoration has been of suspect quality. And so you have this hard decision to make, whether you want to try to restore it to look as similar as possible to the original,
right,
and then kind of lose the actual original, or have something that's not fully restored.
But right. The difference between restoration and recreation is not
exactly
well-defined line.
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of places in Georgia still that, even if it's half of a cathedral is whitewashed, for example, in Ala Verdi, which is about halfway between Kazbegi and Tbilisi in the like central northern part of the country. Ala Verdi Monastery is absolutely beautiful on the outside. The inside is mostly whitewashed. What is left really gives an authentic display of the trajectory of Georgian history, because the Soviet time was a really huge, important part of Georgian history. And Georgian people have varying opinions on whether or not it was good for the country, whether or not it was a good period of time to live in, but it happened, and this is what was done to the artwork and to the cathedrals, and it's part of the story.
Excellent. Now, we were going to start in Tbilisi, but let's go back there now.
Okay. So I think 2 days is generally enough to see the highlights in Tbilisi. Some people I said this to said, are you kidding me? 2 days? No, you need at least a week. But I spent 2 days the first time that I went to Georgia, and I thought it was enough for a brief glimpse. If you are looking for a general overview of Georgian culture, it will be probably harder to find succinctly in Tbilisi, because there are lots of people from all over the country. It's a diverse city, pretty big expat community. There are some large universities that have lots of students from India, from the Middle East. And so it is relatively diverse, and it's a really exciting city, I think. Now there's tons of different art projects that are starting, always new temporary exhibitions, and there's always something new to see. So definitely look online for updated calendars of events. Generally, I would say day one, you should start off in Old Tbilisi. Old Tbilisi is the least renovated part of the city. It is in the center. It is the most popular tourist area of the city, but also lots of local people still live there. There are lots of local restaurants and bars that people frequent, and it is absolutely beautiful. There's one main street called Kote Abkhazi Street. People also call it Lese Lidze, which is the old name that people still use. It's a long street, maybe 20 minutes to walk down it slowly, cobblestoned, really great souvenir shops on the sides. If you peek down a side street, you're likely to find a small church or a craftsman making anything from carpets to shoes. And you can get a feel for kind of the old Georgian culture there. This is a place where if you look up pictures of Tbilisi, you'll probably see those ornate wooden carved balconies covered in vines. And this is where you'll find that. It's a great place to get lost. Beautiful area. When you walk to the end of it, you will hit an area called Abano Tubani, which is where you have the sulfur baths. I absolutely love the sulfur baths. Very very similar to a Turkish hammam.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go in and there's different types of rooms you can get. You can get a private room. If you are with a small group, this is an interesting thing to do. You can bring in food or drinks and just sit and steam and enjoy an afternoon.
Now, the way you said, I absolutely love the solar baths, I'm guessing that not everyone does, and probably the smell is the number one thing.
Well, yeah, the smell is strong, and it will be in your hair for a couple days, full disclosure, but it's not so unpleasant. You get used to it pretty quickly. And also, you're naked in a room full of strangers, mostly old Georgian women or men, and that can be a little jarring at first, but I think after the first few minutes, you just kind of let all apprehension go and release your reservations about it and just can enjoy being in it, the environment for what it is. You can hire someone to give you a scrub. Basically, you lay on a marble slab and a middle-aged woman in a bikini will come and scrub you down real hard, or a man, with like a vinegar soap mix, and she washes all your dead skin off. You come up feeling like newborn baby, and she scolds you probably if you haven't been in a while and says, look how dirty you are, and it's great. For about 10 lari, you can do that, which is about $4.50.
And is she saying this in Georgian? Are we having this conversation in English?
Definitely not English.
That would be my guess.
Yeah. The majority of the people that work in the sulfur baths are not ethnically Georgian. They're Armenian or Azeri. Georgia has pretty significant populations of Armenians and Azeris.
Azeri would be the people from Azerbaijan?
Exactly.
Okay.
They speak their native languages, and they also speak Russian. They do not speak English. You will not find English-speaking people in the baths, most likely, but there are enough tourists that come. They often have English menus of things. You can look at prices, and it's pretty straightforward. Point to things. In general, getting around in Georgia is easiest if you have English and Russian, or, well, probably easiest if you speak Georgian, which I don't imagine many people do. If you speak Georgian, you've been to Georgia. If you do not speak any Russian, you will still be able to have a wonderful trip and get around fine. You will probably be able to have less conversations with people over the age of about 35. Almost everyone over 35 speaks Russian. Most people under the age of 25 speak English. Usually they'll be able to wrestle up someone who speaks English, some neighbor kid or son, daughter. If nothing else, get a phrase book and point to phrases in Georgian and they'll start conversations, right? I've had many experiences where you can just talk about food or travel or something and point to words in the phrase book and you'll end up with a kind of youthful conversation, like an innocent conversation that you can have, very straightforward, but it creates a bond between people just trying to learn the language in that way.
Excellent. What else are we doing in Tbilisi?
Okay, so after the sulfur baths, I recommend doing that in the morning. You will feel super refreshed. Make sure to stay very hydrated if you go do that. Other things for Tbilisi. Nari Kala is an old fortress. You hike to get there, but it's in old Tbilisi in the city center. And it's maybe 20, 30 minute hike, and it has beautiful views of the city. There is also in this area Peace Bridge, which is a big glass metal bridge that's newly built in the past 10 years. And this whole area is called Rike Park. It has a lot of modern architecture. Many Georgians say it ruins old Tbilisi and they're frustrated by it. But it's also some of the most innovative architecture in the Caucasus. So it's interesting to look at whether or not you like it. In this area, there's also a church called Metehi. And here there's a big statue of Vakhtang the Conqueror, who was another great Georgian king. And you can go inside the church and it's really beautiful. The main tourist street is called Rustaveli. Rustaveli is lined with high-quality shops, international brands, places that have live music in the evening. It's worth it just to kind of walk down the street. You can walk from one of the metro stations to Old Tbilisi down Rustaveli and see the whole thing. Freedom Square is kind of in between Rustaveli and the start of Old Tbilisi. And Freedom Square has this long, tall obelisk in the middle with a golden statue of St. George killing the dragon on the top. Then I would say that's day one. In the evening, you can go to an area called Marjanishvili. That's also the name of the metro stop, so you shouldn't have too much trouble finding it. It is newly renovated. It has a pedestrian street, no cars allowed, so it's a great place to just walk around. They have old German architecture from before the Soviet time when there was a German community here, and it has a really interesting history. Almost all the buildings, people, if can tell you the history of that building if it is one of the original buildings. This is also a place with a lot of trendy restaurants. There's one really interesting restaurant called Barbaristan, mm-hmm. which there is a review of on my website, on my blog. And they do something really interesting. They take old, old Georgian recipes. They actually found a 19th century recipe book at a flea market and are making traditional Georgian food, but that was very high class. So the owner of this restaurant has this theory that modern Georgian food is peasant food, right? It's very basic, very simple, and mm-hmm. can be kind of repetitive. And so his goal is to take flavors that still taste Georgian and give people a new experience with Georgian food.
What flavors taste Georgian?
Certain dairy products. There's hundreds of Georgian cheeses, but what you're going to run into the most is a sulguni cheese, which is white and almost a little rubbery, but it's great. I wouldn't put it on crackers, but it's great in Georgian dishes. You have a lot of tomato, cucumber, dill, walnuts. There's a sauce called baje, which is a walnut sauce that's excellent, that's on a lot of things. You get a lot of meats that are spiced really richly. There's a really dazzling array of Georgian spices. If you find yourself in Tbilisi walking around, go to the spice market. Even walking down old Tbilisi street, there's sometimes women with carts selling spices, and you can just ask them to smell everything. If there's something unusual, you can purchase it. It's great.
Now, getting back just a little bit, you mentioned getting off at a particular, subway stop.
Yes.
The signs are in Cyrillic?
The signs are in Georgian and English.
Okay, but Georgian uses a Cyrillic alphabet or Georgian a Latin alphabet?
Georgian uses the Georgian alphabet, which is newly recognized as a UNESCO Intangible World Cultural Treasure. Hmm. Yeah, it's a really ancient alphabet. It is beautiful, and it seems scary, but I learned it on the plane on my way to Georgia the first time, so it's possible to learn quickly. There's, I think, 32 letters, so not overwhelmingly more than the Latin alphabet.
But that is really different. I'm looking at it now. Okay.
Yeah, in the metro, I would strongly recommend looking at a map. Open a map on your cell phone, take a screenshot of it, and have it, because there are not maps in the metro. You get inside, and there's only 1.5 lines. There's 2 lines, but it's basically like 1 vertical line and a horizontal branch coming off of it is the metro. It's really simple. And so when you get inside, they'll just list each station and an arrow pointing to which side of the platform you should go on, depending on which direction you want. Some of the signs are faded, and it's really hard to tell what they say. So I strongly recommend printing out a map if you're going to take the metro.
Okay.
That being said, metro is 1 lari. It's very inexpensive. The metro costs 50 tetri, 50 Georgian cents, so less than a quarter in US dollars, and very inexpensive, can be a little bit confusing, and taxis are extremely cheap. You shouldn't really be paying more than 4 lari, a little bit less than $2 to get anywhere in the city center. So it's really simple to take taxis to places. You can write down an address and show it to your driver. He'll take you there. And if you are not interested in braving the metro, taxis are a really reasonable way to get around.
Excellent. Anything else we're going to see in Tbilisi? We still have a lot of country left to see.
Yes. So briefly, on day 2, I recommend going to the Museum of Soviet Occupation, really moving, great exhibits there. Go to Matatsminda, which is, you'll see the TV tower and the Ferris wheel from most parts of the city up on the hill. You can take a cable car up there, and it's beautiful. Then there's the Drybridge Flea Market, which is a really interesting place full of old Soviet medals and old jewelry and fur hats and paintings, and you can buy anything you want there. A lot of older people sell personal belongings to make some extra money, so it's really interesting to talk to the sellers there as well. You might want to go out at night in old Tbilisi. There's a street called Shardani. This is the most hopping spot for young people at night. Lots of bars, a few dance clubs. And for couples, married couples, older couples, I really recommend going to a place called El Centro. It's a more upscale bar. They have good live music at night and lots of expats there as well.
Shall we move on from Tbilisi?
Yes. So if you can pull yourself away from the beautiful capital, you can go. And actually, Tbilisi is a beautiful city, but it takes a little while to, I think, feel its physical beauty. It's a really interesting city. There's always some alley that you can get lost in. But I think, at least for me, I love mountains. And when you're in Tbilisi, you can see the mountains in the distance, and they're just kind of pulling you out, calling, like, get out to the mountains, go north. So that's what I recommend doing next.
Okay.
Go out of Tbilisi, go north about half an hour to Mtskheta. You can get there by public transportation easily, or you can take a taxi. It's not very expensive, especially if you're with a group. You can take a shared taxi. It's very affordable. Really, to get anywhere in the country, there's a place called Didube. Again, it's on the metro, really simple. And they have an absolutely enormous bus terminal and Marshrutka terminal. So Marshrutki are minibuses, basically large vans that technically seat about 12 people, usually fit about 25 people inside. And they are really exciting. I do not recommend sitting in one for a long period of time because it gets hot and it gets sweaty. And you get very intimate with your fellow passengers. But it is definitely a very local, classic way to travel. And it's very, very, very inexpensive. So if you want to get a marshrutka or a taxi to go to Mtskheta, Mtskheta is the ancient capital of Georgia. It is a small town now. They have two major sites that I would recommend. First, Svetis Hoveli, which is a big cathedral. And also Mama Javari, which is another, it's a monastery. You'll see it on the hill. Javari means cross, so it's the cross monastery.
And these are UNESCO World Heritage Sites, we should say?
Yes, they are. Definitely worth seeing. Svetis Hoveli has a wonderful history, which you can read in the brochure when you get there, the whole history of it. It's excellent. It stems from the story of St. Nino, who was the patron saint of Georgia, and she came and Christianized the country in 311 AD. And she was Georgia was the second Christian country, officially Christian country after Armenia, about 10 years after Armenia was Christianized. And the story goes basically that she set up a large cross on a hill and they built Svetis Hoveli over this cross. Svetis Hoveli means pillar of life or life-giving pillar. And the legend says that the pillar that the cross was on actually hovered above the ground. And so there's a little mysticism here. It's really a really interesting place to go see. When you're on the way to Mtskheta from Tbilisi, there is a statue of Mikhail Lermontov, who is a Russian author and poet. My taxi driver stopped and made us take pictures next to him because he knew I was living in Russia at the time. He was very excited that there's a Russian statue in Tbilisi. Lermontov writes beautiful prose about the Caucasus. I highly recommend Hero of Our Time if you're visiting Georgia. This is a great novel to get into before you go. It will make you just dream of these beautiful mountain towns and the people and the food and the culture, and it'll really get you in the spirit of the Caucasus.
Well, and a large number of famous Russians are really from Georgia, including some that were infamous. I think Stalin is from Georgia, if I remember correctly.
So. Yes. So if you're in Mtskheta, I recommend a restaurant called Salobi, which is, I mean, I recommend having lunch in Mtskheta. This is day three of your trip, right? Leave in the morning, go to Mtskheta, have lunch there at Salobie, and they have any kind of traditional Georgian food you could want. They make it wonderfully. After this, to get to the next stop on your trip, which will be Kazbegi, you have to go back to Tbilisi, but it's not a very long trip, unless you have a taxi driver, a personal taxi driver, who has agreed to take you all the way to Kazbegi with a stop in Mtskheta, which is very doable. To do this, it'll probably cost about 80 lari, which is less than $40. And if you're splitting that with people, I think it's really affordable. It's a good deal. So then you'll go up to Kazbegi, which is one of, I think, the most charming and interesting, captivating places, not only in Georgia, but in all of Europe, if you count Georgia as Europe. It is really unusual. And if you look at pictures of Georgia, oftentimes you'll see a church on a hill. I think the cover of the Lonely Planet guidebook shows this church on a hill with a beautiful, like, snow-capped mountain in the background. That background mountain is Mount Kazbek, and the church in the foreground is Gergeti Trinity Church. Gergeti is really stunning. It has ancient carvings on the outside, and it has, inside of the church is small and dark. And when you go inside, sometimes the wind blows and howls, and there's local people inside who will be lighting candles, and all the women must cover their heads and wrap around a skirt when they come inside. These are available in boxes outside. Many churches in Georgia have you do this. It's really just a sign of respect, and you feel a sort of a weightiness to it, a reverence to it, to the ancientness of traditions here. And up in the mountains in this part of Georgia, the religious tradition are a combination of Georgian Orthodoxy and ancient pagan traditions. So you'll have special holidays here that are not celebrated in the rest of the country that involve massive sheep slaughtering or things like that. And it's really, really interesting tradition. And there's even stories of people during the beginning of the Soviet times who, small communities that held off the Soviets for much longer than the rest of the country because they wanted to preserve their pre-Christian traditions. And it's a mix of pre-Christian traditions and Orthodoxy, and they'll call themselves Orthodox, but they have different traditions than the rest of the country. Yeah, so other things to see in Kazbegi, you definitely want to walk to Gergeti. If you have trouble walking, it's about a two-hour hike. You can also rent a taxi to take you up there pretty easily. You can also rent a horse and do a horseback ride up to the top, which is quite fun. Most people in the village have horses, and you can, in fact, just ask anyone if they have a horse for rent or if they know someone with a horse, and I will guarantee you will have a horse in about 20 minutes. and it won't cost more than $20 for the day. So definitely a fun thing to do. There's also a couple really great waterfalls. There's Arsha Waterfall in the next village over from Kazbegi. And then there's Gveleti Waterfall, which is very close to the Russian border. Kazbegi is about 20 minutes south of Russia. So the road that you take to get to Kazbegi from Tbilisi is called the Georgian Military Highway, which has been listed on several websites that don't seem to have any kind of official statistical measures, but it has been listed as one of the most dangerous roads in the world. It's also one of the most beautiful roads in the world, I think. Beautiful mountain views, really dramatic cliffs. You'll be fine. Just, you gotta just close your eyes.
Not if you're driving.
No, not if you're driving. You should not be driving this road. You can rent a car in Georgia. I recommend someone else drive you to Kazbegi, though. In the winter, it does snow, and that road can be closed if it snows very heavily. But I guess the parts that traditionally get snowed in the most, they have built tunnels, and so you can avoid the snow that way. But if you ask around when you're in Tbilisi, you'll know whether or not the road is open. It's usually, there's no problem getting there between late April, early May, and the end of October, usually. But outside of those times, you want to double check.
That does raise the question of what season or what time of year would you recommend we go to the Republic of Georgia?
If you're big into skiing, go mm-hmm. in the winter. There are some good ski resorts there. There is great heliskiing, I've been told. I have not personally tried heliskiing, but they have great resorts at Gudauri or Bakuriani. Mm-hmm. Also in another mountain area called Svaneti, there is a new resort called Telnudi, which has opened in Mestia, the capital of that region. And you can fly there for about 65 lari, which is about $30. You can fly there to Mestia, and they have good skiing. Otherwise, I recommend coming in the summer. Probably shoulder season is best, so sometime in May or early September. In early September, they have a great festival in Tbilisi called Tbilisoba, but there are so many great summer festivals. It does get quite warm, but not sweltering. I think you'll be fine. But
what is your definition of quite warm?
36 degrees.
Okay. 90s in yeah. Fahrenheit.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're in the south near Azerbaijan, there it gets very hot. It gets into the low 40s in the 100, 105 area. But you don't have to worry. And even in peak tourist season, there's really not that many tourists.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're interested in the real height of summer stuff. So going back to Kazbegi for 1 second, hike to Gergeti, go see the waterfalls. Avoid the bars and restaurants in the main square because they are very overpriced and their quality is not that great. Ask a local person for a restaurant recommendation. There are not a ton of restaurants. If you're there and if you're staying at a guest house, which I highly recommend, they will probably cook for you and their food is going to be the best you'll find. People just in their kitchens making it.
How much is an overpriced meal in Georgia?
Still not very expensive, to be honest. So if you're paying more than 25 lari for a meal, including wine.
Which so about $5?
About $13.
$13. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, the exchange rate is half and then go down a little bit to get okay. So if you're paying more than 25 lari for a meal, you're probably paying too much. And that's a meal that includes appetizers and a main course and a glass or two of wine. so it's very affordable country. So if you are looking for a more formal accommodation in Kazbegi, there is an absolutely beautiful hotel called Rooms Hotel. It has a casino attached. It has indoor pool. It has a deck with beautiful views of the mountains. If you don't stay here, I recommend just going for the mountain views. You can go for brunch, and they have great brunch on the weekends, buffet style. Beautiful place to sit around the deck and look at the mountains. I personally prefer to stay in a guest house because you get to talk with local people. You get a much more authentic experience. It's much more affordable. You can ask questions about what life is really like in Qazbegi, which I think is the key to going there and really enjoying your experience, is trying to understand how people live on a daily basis. But if you're looking for something more formal, Rooms Hotel is stunning. It's really high quality. If it's height of summer, there are some really cool music festivals. If you like electronic music, Georgia is known as one of the new hotspots for electronic music. There's a festival called Gem Fest running from mid-July to mid-August, usually in a town on the North Black Sea coast called Anaklia. Anaklia doesn't really have much going on most of the year, but during Gem Fest, it is absolutely crazy. Thousands and thousands of people from all over Europe and North America descend on Anaklia, and it becomes the place to be during the Georgian summer. Almost everyone takes 2 weeks off in the summer and goes to Batumi. Batumi is the beach town, resort city. So there's some skyscrapers there. There's an interesting building called the Alphabet Tower, which takes the Georgian alphabet and wraps the letters of the alphabet around a tower. And you can go up to the top. There's a restaurant there, which it should be open, but it's often not open. So double check before you go. But Batumi in peak tourist season, so from the end of May until mid-September, anytime you go there, there will be really exciting nightlife, great bars and restaurants, people out everywhere all the time. When you want to lay at the beach, the beaches are rocky, so rent a chair. You will still enjoy it, I promise. Batumi is not the beach that most locals will go to, though. Most locals prefer Kobuleti or Gonio. If you really have your heart set on sand, there's other ones as well near Batumi that you can get to with 20-30 minute taxi ride to Grigoleti or Ureki. Those are sand beaches. So if you're in Batumi in July, there's Jazz Festival, which is a world-renowned festival. Really great artists, both from the Caucasus and Russia and from other parts of the world. So in Batumi, if you're not super into beaches, you can still enjoy it. They have a fortress that was first referenced in the first century AD. It's mostly ruins now, but it's still an interesting place to visit. It's called Gonio Fortress or Gonio Apsaros. There's also a beautiful botanical garden there. There is a dolphin show, which is interesting. They have it in three languages, in Russian, Georgian, and English. They do all three at once. The dolphins are very well trained. It's an interesting thing to see. And you have to try, when you're in Batumi, you have to try Ajaruli Khachapuri. So Batumi is in a region called Ajara. The adjective for Ajara is Ajaruli. So Ajari and Khachapuri, or Ajaruli Khachapuri, is the classic food of the region. Khachapuri is, at its simplest, a cheese bread. This form is the most famous, probably outside of Georgia. It's kind of a boat shape, like an oval with tapered ends. And inside you have cheese and melted butter and a cracked egg on top. And the key is to get it while it's real hot. You crack the egg on top. Your server will do that for you. And then you stir it really quickly and cook the egg inside the hot cheese. And it is really delicious. 10 out of 10 recommend.
Okay. I'm seeing pictures of it. Interesting. You surprised me at the egg. I was following you with cheese bread up until that point, but interesting. Yeah.
Most varieties don't have cheese. So every region has its kind of its own version of khachapuri. You'll see guruli khachapuri, which has boiled eggs cut up inside. That's a rather unusual version. The most popular are Imeruli from the Imereti region, and I guess the most classic would be Megruli from the Samogrelo region. They are both circles, I guess, of dough closed on the bottom and the top, and inside there's cheese. Megruli Khachapuri has cheese on top as well, so double the cheese. You really can't go wrong. It's a great road trip.
I think you just talked my wife into going. Any place with cheesy bread, she's good. She knows she can survive. So,
yes, Georgian food is really varied and amazing, and they manage to make you feel like you're not eating unhealthily, when in fact you are eating very unhealthily. Another place you can visit is Gori. This is Stalin's birthplace. This town and I do not have an excellent relationship.
Wait, Stalin is from a place called Gori?
Yes.
Not spelled the same way, though.
No, it's spelled with an I at the end. So okay. G-O-R-I, Gori. It is very near the border with South Ossetia. And during the 2008 war, Gori was affected by the bombing. And so now if you visit, you really won't see any traces of the war. But people there have quite a visceral reaction when you start talking about the war, because most of them did experience it firsthand. There's really not much to see unless you are very interested in Stalin, in which case, go. Do not spend the night. Go for half a day. Go to the Stalin Museum. They have tours in English and in Russian and in Georgian. You can learn about his early life. They do not talk about on the tour his time in the Soviet government. They do not talk about the Stalinist terror or the purges. They do not talk about really anything related to his politics. It kind of goes much very into detail of his early life. And then he was in the Soviet government, and then he died. And here's a copy of his death mask.
Skipping a bit of the story there, yeah.
Exactly. But it is interesting. I mean, if you do know a lot about Stalin, this might be a portion of his life that you don't know about. They have his actual train car, his personal car that he used to travel in, which has a bathtub in it, so you can see where Stalin took a bath when he was on the road. Yes, but other than that, Gori doesn't really offer that much to the tourist. The other place that I would recommend, if you have the time to do it, is Svaneti, which I have already mentioned, where they have the newer ski resort of Telnudi. You can fly there 65 lari each way, 45-minute flights. You can also drive there in a marshrutka or a taxi. It takes about 10 hours from Tbilisi in the summer. In the winter, you cannot drive there.
Now, I would remind people that you said not to spend a lot of time in a marshrutka.
Yeah, I think for the adventurous traveler, this could be a really fun thing to do. I would do it. Personally, I would do it because I think you would probably get at least two really memorable stories out of that trip. An interesting thing about marshrutkas that you don't really think about as being a problem is the cloth material of the seats is very scratchy. And if you're wearing short sleeves or shorts or a skirt, your skin is scratching up against this and you're bumping along these roads and you get like a sort of a rug burn from the material on the seats. And it's not something you think about as a barrier to using marshrutki, but really it is quite unpleasant.
Good to know.
I mean, flying to Mestia is really simple. The only challenge there is that if it is winter, the weather conditions decide on a day-to-day basis whether or not the flights will run.
Sure.
There's a village in Svaneti outside of Mestia called Ushguli. It's located at 2,100 meters and has acclaimed the highest continually inhabited settlement in Europe. It's also a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It is really stunning, really different. The culture of this region, Svaneti, is different than the rest of the country because it is so isolated, or it was for so long. Now they've built a brand new, freshly paved road going into Svaneti towards Mestia, so the tourist industry is definitely picking up there at breakneck speed. Every week it seems like there's a new hotel coming in or a new restaurant being opened. But there is still a lot of kind of isolated beauty there. The one thing that you'll see throughout the country, but especially mountainous regions, are watchtowers, tall stone towers that were used in before Soviet times to communicate between villages, to watch out for any threats to your village. And they were also used as kind of defense fortresses, and people would live in these villages for months at a time if their village was under siege. They would live in the towers. Ushguli is really a must-see if you visit Svaneti. You could spend a whole week in Svaneti. The people speak a different language. They speak Georgian as well, but they also have their own language. They are somewhat debatably a different ethnic group, the Svans. So it's really, the history there is fascinating. The culture is really new and the food is different. They have some great museums that you can learn about the ethnography of the region.
Any other sites we want to hit before we start to wrap up? I think we're getting to that point.
Yeah, so if none of that interests you or you would not be satisfied with that, some other great places to visit would be Borjomi, which is the town that is famous for Borjomi mineral water. If you've ever been to Russia, you have probably seen Borjomi mineral water before. They have natural springs there that you can drink from. It has healing benefits, supposedly. It does not taste like it would make you feel better. It tastes like it would make you sick. But it is mineral water. They also sell pine cone jam there, which apparently cures sore throats. It's kind of a minty, woody taste. They're also famous for their honey in Borjomi. A little outside of Borjomi, there is a beautiful cave city called Varzia, which your guest on your previous Georgia podcast talked about. The highlight of Varzia really is the King Tamar Chapel inside Varzia, which there's paintings on the walls of King Tamar, who is one of Georgia's most famous kings. She was a woman, yet they give her the name King because she was so well respected that they elevated her from the status of woman to the status of king. So, as any Georgian will tell you, they're not sexist because they had Tamar. So she's very famous and well-loved, and there's very few paintings made of her in her lifetime, only three that have been found so far. Hmm. And one of them is in this place in Bardziya, in the cave. Another place you might want to visit is called Achaltsikhe. Achaltsikhe is in the southern part of the country. It has a large Armenian population. The largest Armenian population in the country lives in Achalkalaki, which is the next town over. There is an old castle there called Rabati, which has been really, it's very well done if you visit it. It's very simple to get a tour in English. It's beautiful. There's also a hotel there that you can stay at and a spa. It's a nice place to visit if you have the time.
What is going to surprise me about Georgia?
Well, I think what surprised me the most the first time I was there is there are cows and sheep on the road everywhere. Even in the capital, you might see them.
Huh. Okay.
The first time I saw a cow on the road, I was in total awe. I made the taxi driver stop so that I could take pictures. And then I realized that it's really not a surprising sight. Shepherds still herd flocks from Kazbegi in the north to towns south of Tbilisi for the winter. So you really see this frequently, men taking flocks of 40, 60 sheep walking through the country. Really interesting. I will also say it is very colorful. It's not Soviet gray. There are parts of Tbilisi that have big gray apartment blocks. Uh-huh. There are some towns that are more industrial that are relatively gray. But for the most part, Georgia is extremely colorful. The food is colorful. Buildings are colorful. People are personally colorful. And if you read old reports of tourists in Tbilisi, they'll talk about three main things, right? They'll talk about everyone wearing black. They'll talk about the light, the electricity not working, and the water not working. Hmm. These are no longer true. You do not need to bring a flashlight when you come to Tbilisi. This is something that really, since 2008, the electricity has been pretty stable. And since 2010, 12, no one really worries about it anymore. Also, you probably have a smartphone with a flashlight on it if you're in a pinch. But don't worry about the electricity. Don't worry about the water. And if people are wearing black now, it's either because they're widows in their 80s. Many older women will carry on the tradition of, if they're widowed, wearing black for the rest of their lives. So you will see grandmothers on public buses or sitting on benches selling sunflower seeds wearing black. But otherwise, you will see extremely fashionable young women walking down the main streets of Tbilisi with 4-inch high heels and high fashion clothes. Tbilisi has become a fashion hotspot. Really interesting local designers. And you will, within 2 hours of being in Tbilisi, you'll be able to notice trends. And you'll be able to know who is following the trends and who is not. And it's a quite status-conscious city, so people care a lot about their appearance.
I want to get back to something that you said just kind of offhandedly. You mentioned two things. One was how many Indians were studying in Georgia. And the other thing you mentioned was if you count it as Europe. And I think it's worth mentioning because I have it in the Europe section, for instance, of Amateur Traveler. But I think I may even have a parenthetical reference to it in the Asia section, because if you look at a map, the Indian scholars studying Georgia makes sense because it's really kind of halfway geographically between the center of Europe and India. It's this weird corner of historically, culturally Europe surrounded by not Europe. It really is the corner of Europe in some ways.
Absolutely. And Georgia, and every Georgian person will tell you, we are the crossroads of East and West. Mm-hmm. That's not the only country that says that about itself, but you really do experience it in Georgia. Politically, Georgia has been really pushing to become recognized as European and Western. Almost anywhere that you see a Georgian flag, you see an EU flag next to it.
Huh.
So that's a little surprising. Georgia is not in the European
right.
Union, but they do have aspirations to EU ascension. And so you will see that a lot. At the same time, when you go to one of these mountain villages and you hear the ancient polyphonic singing, another UNESCO intangible world heritage object. This beautiful ancient polyphonic singing. If you see traditional dances, which you will definitely see while you're there, people love to dance at random. It's hard to place it in the same category as Germany or Italy or something like that. It really is unique. And a new film has just been released last month, I believe, called Ali and Nino. This is a book that is set in Azerbaijan, but it's a love story between an Azeri boy, and a Georgian girl. Hmm. This is one of my favorite books. I highly recommend it. In the beginning of the book, it starts off in a schoolroom, and it's in Azerbaijan, but they're asking, is Azerbaijan east or west? And it's kind of the story between the whole book. And you can ask the same questions about Georgia. Is it European or is it Asian?
Right.
Is it Russian? Is it something totally unique? And I think the CA World Factbook puts it in Middle East.
Interesting.
Really interesting part of the world.
It is geographically certainly in the Middle East, but culturally, yeah, we don't lump it that way. I never comfortably put it in Europe when I'm trying to take a show like this and categorize it, because it is one of those corner things. So interesting.
Definitely. You should go for yourself and decide, is it Europe or Asia or something.
One warning you would give.
You should not. Here's what you should do.
You should not wear shorts on a bus.
Yes, you should cover your exposed skin if you're riding a marshrutka. You should be prepared to get stared at.
Okay.
Some people might look Georgian if you have maybe darker features, if you are good at blending, if you're not wearing tennis shoes, which you probably will be. So I would say just Georgians are starers. It's not considered rude. Don't take offense to it. Don't be worried about it. I am almost 6 feet tall, so people stare at me in general, especially in Georgia, though. I stand out like a sore thumb. I am clearly a foreigner. And especially if you speak English, if you are at all on the borderline between looking like a tourist and not, people will be shocked if you do something that makes you look touristy. If you speak English or if you open up a map or something. But people will also come up and talk to you and say, do you need help? Would you like a recommendation for something? Are you interested in coming to my brother's restaurant this evening? The hospitality is physically palpable. It's an extremely warm, welcoming country. And people feel, traditionally guests are a gift from God, and it is your responsibility as a Georgian to be a good host. And that means giving your guest all of the wine that you can, all of the food that you can, and just giving them the best experience possible. So people will stare at you. Be prepared. You can stare back. That's okay.
Well, I get stared at a fair amount. I'm 6'3" and blonde. So when I'm not in Germany or the Scandinavia, I've had a Korean tourist wanted to have his picture taken with me in Pamukkale in Turkey. And we spoke no common language. So I thought he was asking me to take his picture. And very clearly it changed to, no, I want to have my picture taken standing next to you. I just always assume that they're fans of the show. So that's really how I address it. Excellent. You're standing in the most beautiful spot in the Republic of Georgia. Where are you standing? What are you looking at?
You are in Kazbegi in the north. You are not on top of the hill, but you are just below. It is maybe 5 a.m. The sun is rising. There are cows walking in the street in front of you, maybe a pig lounging outside of his gate. And the sun is rising just behind Girgetti Trinity Church, and everything is just pink and gold. And snow caps on the mountains in the distance are kind of glittering.
You were prepared for that question, weren't you?
I actually was not. It is a town. I have seen this once. I was leaving the city quite early, and the town quite early in the morning, and I was just completely stunned. I walked out of my hotel room and just froze. It was so beautiful.
One thing that makes you laugh and say, only in Georgia.
When your marshrutka has to stop in the middle of the road for 10 minutes to let a flock of 60 sheep pass by.
And finish this thought. You really know you're in the Republic of Georgia when what?
When you are having a meal and all of a sudden there are a flock of Georgians descend upon you, and there are maybe 5 or 6 Georgians suddenly join your table and start buying you wine and telling you stories and singing with you, and you find yourself in the middle of a party celebrating your visit and you don't even know these people.
I should say, in terms of the flock of sheep, you clearly haven't been to Ireland and New Zealand, but...
Yeah, no, I guess it's not completely...
It's not completely unique to your Georgia.
It would be only in Georgia if you're in the marshrutka and
that's true.
There's Russian music playing on the radio. The driver is screaming into his phone in Georgian and everyone is eating sunflower seeds.
Okay. And if you had to summarize Georgia in 3 words, what 3 words?
Delicious.
Okay.
Colorful and welcoming.
Excellent. Our guest again has been Samantha Guthrie from loveatfirstlayover.blogspot.com. And Samantha, I know you have posts on your website about Georgia. Do you have a favorite one that everybody should read?
One of my favorite posts is talking about my most memorable interactions in Georgia. Mm-hmm. It's called Top 20 Most Memorable Social Interactions in Georgia, and it has really interesting, funny stories. So I invite everyone to come on over and read about them.
Excellent. And we'll put a link to that both in the lyrics of this episode as well as the show notes. Samantha, thanks so much for coming on The Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for the Republic of Georgia.
Thank you so much for having me.
This show's gone a little long, so I think we'll skip news of the community for this time. But don't forget about the tours to Japan and India next year, and look on the website amateurtraveler.com if you want more info, or if you have questions about that or anything else, drop me an email, host@amateurtraveler.com, or leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. Join us in the Facebook community, facebook.com/amateurtraveler. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
One more cathedral, I got to sit in one more cave.